And we're recording. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time we're in. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Ghost's leading tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I thank you for that, Father. And we exert that every chance we get. And we don't like the enemy, and the enemy don't like us. We just like it like that. And we have that authority to cast him down and cast him off and free up people. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you place it in our hearts to for us to understand who we are in you, that we don't have to put up with that kind of nonsense. And we thank you for it, Father. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for getting us all ready for this great, wonderful time we're fixing to go into. And Lord, we thank you for great and wonderful provisions to do the things that you want us to do. And thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and all of our enemies. And we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for placing in us to look like you, looking in the mirror early in the morning and saying, "Look at that, there's Jesus. I'm going to talk Jesus, I'm going to walk Jesus, and I'm going to do just like Jesus did today." And Father, we do that, we're going to be fine. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray yourself? My goodness. Can y'all hear me? Oh, okay. There's nobody acknowledging anything. I thought maybe I was dead over here. No, I'm just kidding you. All right. Has anybody got any? Hey, Joe.
Now, I just want to add, you said anybody's dead. I said, you're only dead to self.
Amen. That's exactly right. We're all dead to self. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Has anybody got any prayer requests? How many of you just felt like your prayers don't ever go anywhere? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it a minute. Why do you reckon people don't get their prayers answered? I'm just going to start out with something. You know, a lot of times you find yourself, you're out there, you're praying, you're crying out, and you're hoping God hears you, but you're not real sure that if He does hear you, is He really hearing me? And it ain't because you're sinning or anything like that, but you just don't understand why you're not getting your prayers answered. Anybody know why? Okay, Missy. All right, y'all listen up.
Well, I think sometimes, like me, we have trials of our faith, and the enemy will bring something across my way that'll cause me to start to doubt about what I pray. That's because I'm looking at what I see rather than what the promises are, rather than believing I received, and maybe. Sometimes, I know sometimes I'm not sure that what I prayed for is God's will. But earlier what came to me is as the Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done for you. So and another thing that just came to me is delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So if I delight myself in the Lord, which to me that means spending time with him and being in his word and delighting in his word and wanting to know him more and really wanting to know his will, then he makes his will my will. So he, sometimes, there may not be something in the Bible that specifically guarantees what you're asking for, but I've realized sometimes the Lord puts in your heart what he wants you to pray. Even though I may not realize it, that it's the Lord putting it in my heart to pray it. So therefore, I sometimes doubt because of things that I see or hear around me. But faith calls the things that are not as though they were. And I mean to walk by faith and not by sight. So I'll shut up now, but that's just
No,
all this stuff that
you're
came
doing
into
good.
my mind.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Benjamin.
So, just to reiterate, you asked the question, why would a prayer not be answered, or why do you think your prayer is not getting answered?
Yeah, why do you think that your prayers don't get answered?
Well, just, well, I guess people don't have, well, Missy, you hit, I'm thinking you hit the nail on the friggin' head. And I think people have faith opposite. They have faith over what they see in the world, basically what Missy was saying. Another thing that I always like to go to is that a lot of people don't know who they are in Christ Jesus and what that standing really is. Like, I think they know that they can pray and ask God for miracles and all that, but they forget whose power it is. It's not within their own power because they asked and then they stay strong in their own faith. But they have the power of God through them to have authority over these demons. And so they think themselves to just be this little person asking for a favor instead of acknowledging that they're overcomers, not just from the sin that's within themselves, but the sin that's around them. One God overall. In all, so free from sin in yourself and through all. So having that word through you. I don't know. That's another way of looking at it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, Julie.
I think sometimes people give up and they don't endure to the end. For whatever reason, they get doubtful, double-minded, fearful, or just like, they listen to the lies somewhere, just saying, I guess God's changed his mind, or he didn't mean what he said, or, I'm not supposed to have it, or, whatever it is. So yeah, that's, they don't endure to the end.
Amen. Could it also be, and I'm just going to throw this out there, could it also be that we don't understand where our position is with the Lord? Our position, each one of us, should be right beside Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, with Jesus. And we don't really think that we're that away, and we just give up because we've got that McDonald mindset where if I don't get my prayer answered in the next whatever, that the Lord didn't hear me. Jesus, when he prayed, he didn't give up. He stayed with it. Julie, you still got your hand up? Did you put your hand up? Or
I
I
raised
just
my
didn't
hand
look.
again.
Okay,
Raised
go
it
ahead.
again. If you
All right.
finish, yeah.
Well, go ahead.
And with what you just said, not knowing your position, that we're supposed to see ourselves as his bride. And in the story of Esther, Queen Esther, the king asked her, what is your petition? What is your, request? Even half the kingdom, just let me know. I'll do it. That's how we're supposed to see ourselves. What do you want? What do you need? What are you praying for? Who do you want to pray for? Ask me. I'll give you half the kingdom. Hey. So yeah, that kind of goes along with not believing our position.
Amen. How did Jesus pray? There's a couple of prayers in the New Testament that Jesus prayed. John 17 is one of them. Once you figure out who we are in Christ, you trust the Lord and understand that when you pray, He's already heard you. And you don't back off of that. Like Missy said, you endure. A lot of times we just like to give up. Well, I guess you heard me. That's the old mindset. That's the old covenant mindset. The new covenant mindset is stick with it until it's done. Endure in your faith until it's done. Don't worry about what goes on around you. Makes no never mind. It don't. Because when you pray, you're seated with Jesus. You're seated with the Father. The Holy Spirit and Jesus lives inside of you. He heard you. Maybe he just, I don't know how, but what we have to do is just trust the Lord. And when you trust the Lord, it makes no difference what goes on around you. Time can go by, but you know this is going to happen. Time can go by. You can see all kinds of garbage going on around you, but you know that your prayer is answered. That's why George Mueller had over 50,000 prayers answered in his lifetime that he recorded, not talking about the ones he didn't record. Because he stayed, he's endured. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, if he can use King Nebuchadnezzar, what does he not hear? You know, we were taught about sovereign God. He knows everything. His Holy Spirit is everywhere. It's upon the waters, and we're of the water. And I think it's more than just H2O. But you know, even the land is made out of the waters, and then that's all the elements. In chemistry on that periodic table. So what does not get by God if his Holy Spirit is in every single place and he has to be there because this is a spiritual event. God has to know what's going on in the spirit all over the place. Even with those fallen angels, he has to know everything that's going on there. So if he is sovereign to know all things, and he knows where every single human being is and whatever every single thing that you don't even know about yourself yet. So I'm just examining it from a different point of view that I think sometimes they just forget how almighty God is. And that's it too, like because they don't get an answer right away, they might think God didn't hear them or something. Or sometimes you're hunting for an answer. I wonder about that too, because if you're wondering about an answer, then what is that really? You're thinking God didn't hear you.
I'm sure he hears a lot of dumb stuff too. I don't know. But I just thinking aloud, that's all. And I hope it helps someone. Sometimes I think when I'm speaking, I'm helping myself. That's kind of weird. But praise God anyway.
Amen. All right. Does anybody else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
Another thing that I was thinking about was I don't know if anybody's actually touched on this yet or not, but entering into the rest when you pray and believe. I have a testimony about that, about God restoring my height for I don't know how many years after my accident where I broke my back. And just how much resting in the knowing that it is already done. There's something that God loves about that. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it, but it's just maybe perfect peace, maybe even perfect faith at that point, where you believe God regardless of what circumstances is around you. And it's already done, but that's one I wanted to throw in there.
Amen. Is it also, go ahead, Missy.
Well, to add to that is I know I can, I can be an Abraham trying to help God out with what I ask. He doesn't want my works, I'm not in the rest. It's my works, it's like, God, I make my request and then I try and bring it about, And that I think delays the answer because he doesn't need my works. He doesn't need me trying to help him out.
Amen. Remember what Jesus did before he called Abraham? I'm Abraham. Called, what's the guy that died?
Lazarus.
Lazarus. Before he, what'd he do? What's the first thing he did? Father, I thank you. Before he ever said anything, that you hear my
He
prayers.
waited. He waited a couple of days before he even went.
Well, he waited 4 days, yeah. Sure did. But what I was getting at is what he said first. He said, Father, I just thank you that you hear my prayers. I thank you, Lord. That's the relationship that the Father wants with us, is to understand that he hears it. He always hears it, our prayers. And if he hears our prayers, who are we? Sons of the Most High. Sons and daughters of the Most High. Let me put it that way. And if we're sons and daughters of the Most High, we need to understand that he hears our prayers every time we speak them, and he's going to answer them. That might not be in our time frame. Yeah, we're believers. Might not be on our time frame, but he's going to answer him. We have to trust him to do that. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sometimes the trials are very long and they're very hard. And the flesh gets, I don't know, the flesh is just weak. It's like I need to put this flesh to death because that's not who I am and that's not the promises I stand on. And so all these things that you just said, you know, we have this promise we can stand on, and that's what gets us through these long, hard trials that we have to go through, because they're hard. I mean, they're so hard. But praise the Lord, we don't have this uncertainty. We don't have these, I mean, we can walk through them. My cousin is here right now, and he's reading a book about the case of uncertainty, and he's asking me all these philosophical questions. And you know, he's not a believer, and he's been through a lot. He had a kidney transplant when he was young, and he's got psychosis, all these things going on in his life. And so there's all this uncertainty, and he's asking me these questions. I'm like, well, and he knows, you know, we talk a lot about Christianity and about my beliefs and stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't know. All I can say is, with my faith, I don't have to worry about that. I know, I'm confident. I don't have uncertainty because I know I have a sovereign God, and I know. You know, I've experienced it in my life in so many ways, and I just always have to go back and think about that and remember that and remember, yeah, you know, I asked a question that one time and he answered it so many times. I mean, you know, specifically like when I came into UBM, I had so many questions because everything was so different than what I'd learned in the Baptist church, and so many questions. And I just like, you know, I just keep, okay, Lord, what, how does this fit in? How does this work out? That doesn't make sense. And then I'd read scripture, and David would have a teaching the next day that just answered it perfectly. And it was like, okay, how many times has he showed up? You know, so many times. And so I just have to keep remembering all the blessings. Count your blessings one by one. I just keep going back and remembering. I remember the day I was born again. I was like, remember that? Remember how your nature changed, how you just changed? Like one day you were didn't believe in anything, and the next day you knew. I mean, he chose me, and I just know. And so to try to explain this to my cousin, he's like, well, isn't that a little arrogant? Or, you know, all this stuff he goes through and it tries to discount my faith. Like, well, whatever. I mean, there's no point in discussing it because you're not going to understand until you're born again. But it's solid. I know it. So I'm not going to go back to what I believed or before, and I'm not going to change to something you might offer me, because I know it. I can go back. I know what happened to me. And so I can stand on that through all these trials we're going through. I mean, it's hard. But I mean, it's killing our flesh. Praise the Lord. It's doing it. It is doing it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Benita. All right, who's next? I remember something that one of the preachers said. He said, prayer is the voice of a child to the Father, the call of love to love. So we don't need to be praying like a stranger, do we? We need to be praying like a child knows that he belongs. I like that. We belong, and he hears us. All we need to do is trusting implicitly. And I'm talking to myself too, because you know we've been praying for years. I remember George Mueller prayed for a guy for 50 years, and he never got to see the guy come to Jesus. After he died, 50 years later, the man came to Jesus that he had been praying for. 50 years he'd been praying for that man. He didn't give up. He kept praying for him. until he died. And the Lord saw fit to bring him into the kingdom after George died. But it was because of his prayers that he came in there. So don't never give up on the Lord. He can answer those prayers after the fact. I'm not saying you're going to have prayers like that. That's just one out of millions. Anybody else on prayer? I think we need to, for myself, what I try to do, Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for making this day beautiful like it is, and knowing that you're right near me, and just talking to the Lord as the day goes by. Does anybody do that? Sometimes I have to remind myself, but I do it. First thing in the morning, I wake up, y'all. First thing in the morning, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. I remember the reason I did that is because I heard someone talking about Smith Wigglesworth. He bound out of his bed, they said. He would bound out of his bed and start praising the Lord for the wonderful day he's going to have. Yeah, I could see that old man jumping out of that bed. Praising God, Englishman. Plumber. He used to be a plumber before he became a preacher. His wife was the preacher. Did y'all know that? Yeah, his wife was the preacher before him. She died, I think, and he took over. You know why he started hitting people? And I'm getting off the subject here. When he'd pray for them, he for certain things, he'd if they had stomach problems, look out. He'd smack them right in the stomach. Because when he was sick one time in the hospital, in the bed, he had this young couple come in there to pray for him. And the young man jumped up on the bed and smacked him right in where he was hurting, right in his stomach. He was instantly healed. So he thought, well, if bless God, if he can do it, I can too. And that's why he always did that, or did that sometime, not all the time. He drop kicked a newborn baby right across the stage one time. Yes, he did. He drop kicked one across the stage there. It was dead, and it came alive as it hit the ground. Y'all trying to limit God. Don't limit God. He can do anything. You ought to be in this house. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Open our mind's eye to see that the Lord is our Father. He is our Father. Glory to God. And He loves us. And He's going to answer our prayers. Every time. I know we get a little bit anxious, we get anxiety, we get worried. It's, I don't know if God heard me or not. Yeah, He heard you. He lives in you. Yeah, He's right. He's right here. Right here. Yeah. He's all in us. And He hears everything we say. So be careful what you say. Don't speak against him. Yeah. Anybody else on prayer and why sometimes we, I think also sometimes that we have a Old Testament view of God in our prayer lives. You know, they always beg and thrash around and begging God to do things for them and, most of, in our instance, it's already been done. Most of them. All we have to do is thank him for it. That's where faith comes in. E.W. Kenyon had a real good study on that also, on that. I forget the name of it. Something about being a beggar before God or something like that. Okay. Anybody else want to talk about prayer and why we don't get our prayers answered? And what do we need to do to get our prayers answered? I think we touched on a lot of it. Yeah, Benjamin.
I would say another thing to kind of add on to that is that if you haven't really been caught up in your confession of sins, because
Well, that could be it, yeah.
that that's definitely can be a part of it. I think a lot of Christians don't realize that they need to confess it sometimes, and that they don't just need to just wash it off or whatever, or just forget about it, but they need to confess that. And yeah, it's sin's the thing that separates us from God. And so I think it says it in 1 John 1:9. I think I'm gonna butcher it, but I'll say if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And the righteous ones are the ones that live by faith. So he needs to cleanse us of that unrighteousness. And you'll have a conviction in your mind when you're asking for prayer sometimes, and sometimes that's what you need to fight against. Because I've asked stuff for prayers in the past, and I wasn't fully confessed up, I guess I could say. And so I had that sort of mind thought of like, oh, this ain't gonna get answered. And so I would always wonder, like, why is that there? Why is that there? Why is that there? And it's not supposed to be there. I rebuke that. I would even rebuke that and confess that, and I'd still have that other thing in the back of my mind, and then I gotta start attacking that. And yeah, just something else to add on to our prayer
Amen.
talk.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Could it be sometimes we're thinking we don't deserve it? And it could be something really simple, too, that it would be perhaps not even something you would even make a request about, but you think you don't deserve even that, And it's kind of silly to ask the Lord for something and then think you don't deserve it, How many times I ask the Lord to help me find something because I misplaced it? Well, you deserve that. But it just sometimes it's plain and simple and it just you start wondering about it, like when is it gonna happen? Or I think it's because sometimes people just forget who they are too, in the Lord. And I mean, did Jesus would never pray for something that he didn't think he deserved, or he never prayed for someone, they had a really interesting understanding. Even when Jesus walked amongst Jewish people, they would get there. They knew who God was, and they knew that God would answer the prayer. But some of them got nothing, but it makes me kind of wonder, like when some of these people who were Jewish that came to the Lord and are trying to throw off some of these ceremonial laws they had, like in the book of Acts, they're trying to get rid of some, they're trying to tell the apostle, the church father, that he's wrong about something there. And he's not, and sometimes people who overcorrected, like I was corrected a lot during my childhood for a lot of things. And that could be it too, because you get overcorrected so many times in your life. Sometimes you might not think you deserve some stuff, just because that's the type of surroundings you're in and the attitude people have. Anyways, I'm just thinking out loud here. That's a difficult thing to admit to, that you are deserving. You are very deserving, and I know the Lord is, that's the answer from the Lord, is that we are deserving, and we shouldn't have that type of attitude that we don't deserve something and we really should. And if it's just simple, something very simple, what's withholding this from happening? Except it had to be something of maybe improper heart or thinking, or it's just unfathomable, unreasonable to think that any father would not give to his child, And it could be rejection, maybe. Anyways, these little things have a way of coming in, and then you get tested and you get tried, and you ask the Lord for help, and he has to come. Would the Lord not rescue someone who's in that state too, where he overcame this and then he had to overcome that, and he's going through all these items that he had to overcome, and then suddenly, he finally gets an answer that's been long awaiting, but it was always there available for him right at the start. And sometimes, he's being patient with you, and he wants you to have this, and I don't know what I'm saying. I don't want any pun. When God speaks and he says that you're his child, then you're his child, and you should want to be his child, and you should ask things, and you should talk to him like you do a father, and know that the presence of God is with you always. And he tests your heart, and he knows what's there, and he knows what has to be cleansed out of you, and what has to be done. And he knows everything about you, more than you know yourself, even. So, when you're struggling with something, and you think that he doesn't hear you or he doesn't know, come on, he knows all things. His presence is around in the whole world. Anyway, I hope that helps people. I wanted even to help me too. So praise God. Glory to God.
Go ahead, Ben. Thank you, Andrew.
Another one, I just remembered what I was about to say. Some people think, like, oh, I know that's how it's supposed to be, but I'm not there yet in my walk with Christ. I can't ask for that yet. Or God isn't ready for me to have that yet. And I'll confess, like, I've thought of this a lot as well. I'm guilty of that one many times. And that really hinders the walk, and it can really lead to other things that are wrong. And anyways, it stops you from walking in the way that Jesus wants you to walk, you know, because he wants you to know that he has these promises for you. All the promises are for any Christian at any time in their walk. And that's an important teaching as well. You know, David always has the testimonies, and he always says, I started it when I was just a little baby Christian. I just read the word and I did it. And, you know, praise God for that, because not a lot of people have that. It's a great testimony to look up to. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah. I listened to that too. Okay. Anyone else? What about you, Patrick?
Well, I'm enjoying listening to everyone else. Because I tend to run my mouth a lot, but I guess the thing that was I was wondering or thinking about, and I think maybe I like Ben was saying, tend to think this that maybe I don't deserve it, or that sort of mentality. But I was thinking of Job, where the Lord put circumstances in his life that came against him, and he obviously was praying through the process and trusting the Lord, and things appeared very bleak in his situation. You know, he lost his family, he lost his livelihood. He lost, his health. And that whole process was, I'm sure bringing out things in him that he had to deal with. And of course, his friends helped him out quite a bit, as far as bringing the necessary condemnation and guilt and accusation and whatever that came in there. And so I guess I'm just thinking that he was going through things with and he could have recanted, or he could have said, well, this didn't work, or this is not working, but he didn't. He saw everything that he was going through as the hand of God in his life. And he didn't understand it. And quite frankly, it wasn't until the end of that situation that he started to understand that which was in him that God was trying to, was bringing to the surface to remove out of his life. And so I don't know that we are any different in that situation, that we can be going through things to get there's a lot of learning curve, that he puts us through. Line upon line, precept upon precept, until the one day that light dawns on us and is able to bring us into that aha moment, or that, oh, I get it. Scenario. So I don't know that, we don't all go through that. And the problem is, it's such a mixture because everything everybody has said is absolutely right. We're complicated puppies, and it amazes me how the Lord is so patient. Even the message of love that was preached here this weekend, in the last message, is so absolutely beneficial in demonstrating and revealing how God deals with us through that perspective of love and patience. And sometimes we tend to think, we're getting the short end of the stick here type of thing. But the Lord endures with us through these trials as well. And he feels our pain, and he feels our struggle, and he feels our confusion. He knows exactly what we're going through, what we're struggling over, and what we're looking for, what we're praying and trusting him for. And so the initial thought that I had when Michael raised a question, what makes, I guess my initial thought was, what makes us think that our prayer hadn't been heard or answered? Because God knows how to answer, and get the full benefit out of what our heart's desire is. I think if Daniel, started fasting and praying, and I remember the exact line, but the angel said, "We heard you from the moment you started praying. We heard you, and we were on the way, but there were certain things that were taking place, etc." So it wasn't because God didn't hear us or doesn't hear us. It's he does, and he puts it into perspective of what he's doing in our life. And it's all going to work out for the best, for good, for he that's how his love is working in our lives. I mean, that's, I guess I'm starting to ramble now, but I think he does hear our prayers. He hears every one of our prayers. And we shall see the result that we are looking for. And if it takes time, praise God. He's not limited in what he is doing in our lives and in the lives of others. I'm thinking, when he called Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he sent those plagues. Part of those plagues were, for hardening the Pharaoh's heart and convincing, demonstrating God's existence in the midst of Egypt, and then, to Pharaoh and the government entities there. But he was also allowing some of those plagues to hit the Israel, the children of Israel. He was stirring them up and preparing their heart, motivating them to want to get out of this situation. And so God was doing things to multiple to multiple people, or multiple actions were taking place all in one plague, so to speak. So anyway, I'm going to quit rambling. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Caught me with my mouth full. Okay, that's good. Don't you think sometimes if people don't understand their relationship with God and they think that they have to storm the gates of heaven. How many of you heard people talking about praying to knock down the gates of heaven to get the Lord to, well, for goodness sake. It's just like us. If we were, when we were coming up, you got hungry, you went into the refrigerator, got you something to eat. You didn't stand out there and holler, "Please, somebody give me something to eat." No. You went to the refrigerator and got you that moon pie or ever what's in there that you wanted. And you believe that you were right to do that because you belong to that family. That's your family. That's your mom and dad. Same way with our prayers with the Lord. We are part of the family. We don't have to storm the gates of heaven. Lord's already. He's there. He ain't going nowhere. We need to storm. Well, anyway, I'm going to get off of that. But anyway, we are God's sons and daughters. He's going to give. Let me see what that verse is. I think it's John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will. And what? It shall be done unto you. That's what the Lord said. That's in red. All right. Go ahead, Judy.
Amen, Michael. The other verse that was coming to me was in Romans, where he said, "He that did not spare his own son, will he not also give us all things through him?" Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The thing I was thinking about was that by waiting for God to answer our prayers manifestly, whatever that may be, that it is he's manifesting in us the fruit he wants by the long suffering, the patience, the learning to trust him, believe him, trust him, walk it out in faith, learning to do everything that, essentially we've been taught here, about what faith is, and that there's a suffering in your flesh because you're not getting what you want when you think you should have had it. Or whatever. So it's the maturing process that God's doing to get the fruit. So that's it's not that he didn't answer, but it's you're battling with your mind, and you're battling with the enemy who's, throwing fiery darts at you and accusing you and trying to tell you've done something wrong or trying to make you think you're in sin. Oh, you must have done something. You must have unforgiveness somewhere. Oh, you see, that's what. Every time there was this a teaching, either David or you, Michael, talking about something about what's hindering your prayer life, I would hear the enemy every time saying, "See, that's what it is. That's applying to you. Think about it. just trying to get me to look at myself in place of, on Christ. And no. Jesus already did that. So anyhow, that was what I was thinking too, is the waiting and the waiting and the long suffering and the maturing that God's doing in us. We're supposed to count it all joy. The manifold trials that we go through. Let patience have its perfect work in us, and that's the perfecting. Well, that's what I was thinking too.
Amen. How many of you been praying for your family, and you haven't, you didn't see immediate results either. I've been praying for my family ever since I was born again, and I am now, just now, 20-something years later, starting to see some fruit from it. Didn't give up. I knew God was going to bring them in. I didn't know how. But he did. And I'm seeing the fruit of it. I know some of y'all are doing the same thing. You're seeing people come in that you've been praying for a long time. Go ahead, Missy.
One thing that came to me was, the Lord wants me to come to him as a little child. And another thing that, that goes with that is, or what, well, let me go the whole way back here. Let's start here. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who, if his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And you have not because you ask not, Maybe sometimes, we don't, we have this in the back of our mind that we want to ask the Lord for, but we're afraid. We think that, he's not gonna, I think he's not gonna, lots of times if I'm like wondering if what I want to ask is the will, I'll wait and I'll seek and ask the Lord, if it's what he wants, because I don't want to ask him for something that later on I find out wasn't his will. You know what I mean? So if I'm in doubt about something, then I won't ask him, but I'll seek to know if it's his will first. And lots of times that's like I'm hesitant to, like, sometimes in a prayer I might want to dictate to the Lord how he does it. I am hesitant to ask the Lord to do something when it's too specific and that I dictate to him how I want him to do it. And I can't think of an example offhand, but because I know I've had prayers not answered because I dictated to him how I wanted him to answer. But I think if I have like this boldness of faith, or like a almost, I guess you could say, a word of knowledge, then that's different. But just some thoughts on that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. How many of you have just prayed something to see how God would react to your prayer and see if something that was wild, but that you really wanted it answered, and that he answered it. Anybody, you understand what I'm saying? Something out of the normal. Well, we all pray for our families. We all pray for this, and we all pray for that. Go ahead, Benjamin.
What do you mean by like out of the normal?
Something that you normally wouldn't pray for because you didn't think that the Lord would answer
Okay.
it. Because you've never heard,
That
because you've
answers
never heard
it.
any, because you've never heard of anyone praying that before.
Okay.
What I'm really saying is this: don't put God in a box. If you've got something, that you want to pray for, go ahead and pray for it and expect God to answer you one way or the other. I know people that have prayed for weapons to be neutralized, and God did it. Yeah, Missy.
It's easier for me to believe stuff like that than when it comes to something more personal that
Okay, here's
directly.
something personal for you. Here's something personal for you, okay? And God has given me dreams about this. If somebody comes up to you with a loaded gun and says, "I want all your money," and you tell him this, "Listen, I'm a Christian. If you pull that trigger and it ain't my time, you're the one that's going to die, not me. But if it's my time, guess what? I go home. I go to be with my Lord. But you'll still be here and you're going to do time in jail for what you've done." And believe that God will answer your prayer to bring that man to the kingdom. You know, things like that. That's what I'm talking about. Natural, everyday occurrences. I heard of a tribe over in Africa that came to Christ, or some people, missionaries came, were going across the jungle, and they prayed that the Lord would shield them from any harm, and they went all the way across it. And when they had another meeting, there were some strange people there, and they were wanting to know about the Lord. And come to find out, they had come, it was about a half a dozen of them, had come out in the jungle to rob and kill those people to take their whatever they had. But they saw these great big muscle-bound men there, and that scared them, and they took off. And they came to find out who those men were, and they said, "Well, we don't have any people like that. That had to have been God's angels there. They came to Christ because of it." That's personal stuff there. Had a guy call me one time. He said, "Michael," he said, "my truck, my van," he was a construction guy. He said, "My van won't go in reverse. What do I do?" I said, "Put your hand on the dashboard. We're going to believe God's going to fix it." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that transmission in that van to work right now in Jesus' name." I said, "Put it in reverse and get on out of there." He put it in reverse and went to holler. He said, "It's working, it's working, it's working." I said, "Well, praise God now. Go and get your work done." That's the type of things that you do as a Christian. That's the wild things that a lot of people would say, "Oh gosh, you can't believe that. You can't." We've all seen stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. Don't put God in a box. Well, that woman ain't never coming to Jesus. Man, she is. Woo! She's good gracious. Jezebel, tough as nails. Good gracious. You start praying for them and watch what happened. They'll come to Jesus. They'll come to Jesus. But like we've been talking about, everybody's been talking about the same thing. What we have to do is believe that it's already happened. And thank God for, and praise God for that. And we'll start having a prayer life that you can't wait to get in the prayer closet, so to speak, and start praying, because you know whatever you've written down to pray about, God's going to answer it. And then you get to put in your little prayer log what happened. You know, this happened on this such and such a day. I prayed this and come back a week later. Well, God answered my prayer. And you'll get to go back and look at all of those things that happened to you. How many of you keep a prayer log? I just started another one. Yeah. Well, you ought to, so you can have a testimony. All right, anyone else? This is fun. Glory to God. I keep thinking of those things. Golly. What's the wildest thing that you believe that you prayed that God answered or hasn't answered yet? Go ahead, Missy. That her long story short would be short. No,
No,
okay.
I've shared this with you all before.
I know it.
I
I
think
know it.
it's because it's this was, gosh, I'm not sure how many years ago this was now. Nine years ago, I think.
That don't make any difference.
I know, but it's just like it's wow. Anyway, I was at Key Fobber Park, and I was walking along, and I was having an issue with my knee at the time, and one of my knees, and I saw this guy across the lake, and I could see that he was having a hard time trying to get his something started over there. And I walked it, when I got around to him, I saw he was trying to start a chainsaw. He couldn't get it started. And the Lord kept like telling me, go over and pray for that. And I'm like, I'm a woman and he's a man, and And I'm like, I never prayed for anything like that before. And I was like, I was almost gonna walk by, and I knew if I did, I was gonna regret it, you know. So long story short, I walked over. Blah 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 blah. And he pr I prayed over it, and like on the third crank, it started. So that was that was my most wildest thing, just because it was so like out there for me at the time, you know.
Well, that's a big
So
one.
yeah, that was cool. Praise the Lord. He did it.
Amen. Anybody else? A wild thing that you prayed for that you didn't, that you wanted to believe it, and God did it for you. Y'all need to pick up on your praying then, if you're. I'm just kidding. Oh, my. Yeah, Missy.
Well, another time, I was on my way home. I'm pretty sure I was on my way home when I was on the turnpike. I was almost home, and all of a sudden, my this is when I had my RAV. The cruise didn't work, and I got home, and I just prayed and believed that it was going to work. And over a period of 2 weeks, I would check it now and then, because I didn't need to use it, so I would just check it. And one day it started working, and it continued to work and never went on me again. That was another cool one.
Praise
Crazy.
God. Awesome. Anybody else? Something that you have prayed for that you didn't, that was really strange for you to pray for, that God answered it. Surely y'all have done that. Amen. Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I can share mine about was it 2 summers ago now when I or was like in March, I guess, two years ago, when God let me win this money. I'm from downtown, the Volunteer Federal having this 50-year celebration downtown, and all these gifts they were giving away. You put your little ticket in all these boxes, you can put as many boxes you want to, but I put mine in several, but also in the cash draw box. And so there's different size cash amounts to win if your name was drawn. And I did pray. I was, but because I needed money for my glasses. I'd lost a pair of glasses and I needed to get glasses. I knew they'd want you to have your eye exam and all that. But it turned out that where I went was very reasonable, good price on sale and stuff like that. But anyway, I prayed that I would have, I was thinking I only have my $300, Lord. And I said, be great if I could win that. And I really prayed to win and to get to win one of those cash draws. And so I sat up close to the front, right at the very front. And Angelica was with me, and she had walked away. And they were doing the cash draw now. And they started with 1,000 and on down. I didn't get 1,000. And I was just sitting there saying, I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to get something. I'm going to win this. I'm going to win one of these. And when they got to the 500, he said, okay, time for now our 500 cash draw. He said, the name is, and I said, that's me. And I started to get up, and he called my name as I started to get up off my chair, and I won that. So was so cool.
Amen.
It was
Thank
so
you,
cool.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I remember when that happened. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
This was several years ago too. I was walking through the park over across from the neighborhood here, and I saw this bright blue bird, like an indigo. I'm like, Lord, I would love to see one of them birds at my bird feeder. That would be so cool. Lord, bring one to my house. Because I looked it up to see what it was, and I was pretty sure it was Indigo Bunny. Anyway, so then I was at the kitchen sink making dinner that night, and there was an Indigo Bunting at my bird feeder. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I saw him like two, three times then after that for briefly, and then last early spring, I was standing at the back door, and there was this bluebird that just came and landed on the deck rail. And I'm like, oh wow, Lord, thank you for bringing that bluebird, because now and then I ask him, Lord, I want the bluebirds. I want to see bluebirds. Very seldom do I see bluebirds. And then it flew away, and I'm like, Lord, bring it back. And he came right back to the exact same spot. And one other time I saw it. in the spring. So I was like, wow, and I just laugh. I said, I know you, Lord, you do those things for me because I get such a charge out of it, and I praise you and I thank you for it. At times like that, it's those little things, that give me such joy. I love seeing his creation. I just praise him and thank him over it. And I know he does it just because he likes to receive those praise and thanks. And I'm like, having saying that now, I'm like thinking, oh gosh, I should praise him and thank him way more than what I do, but lots of times I do thinking. I don't get exuberant about it like I do with like the animal, the critter things, but like lots of times I thank the Lord, when I made something for dinner and he gave me an idea or whatever. It turned out really well and it tasted really good. I'm like, thank you, Lord, but anyway, so like, yeah, when those birds are so cool. Praise Jesus.
Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call this one weird, but I felt like I needed to share it because everyone seems to
Okay.
be sharing something. I'm sure y'all remember probably not too long ago. Actually, it's been a while now. My Jeep used to leak water in it whenever it rained. And it would leak through, I had like, what do you call it? Sunroof, whatever. And in my mind, I was like, it's got to be through that thing. The weather stripping's probably going from it. But I kept on praying against it. It would only drip in one little spot. So I would always just point at that spot. You're not dripping anymore. And I'd be driving with water dripping on my hand. Nope, you're not going to be dripping no more. And then, eventually, just one day it was raining and then it wasn't dripping. And then again, it wasn't dripping throughout the whole drive. And so, yeah, that was pretty cool that he did that.
Amen.
It still doesn't drip and it starts no problem, no longer. The starter works, all that stuff works. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. That's a miracle with the Jeep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Hey, I got something we can all believe about. Some of you may have already seen it. Jennifer McWhorter. My dogs, Jack and Callie, have been missing for 3 weeks. Please pray that the Lord would show me grace and bring them home. I need direction and wisdom to know what to do. Well, Jennifer, just pray and believe. We're going to pray and we're going to believe with her that Jack and Callie, you get yourself back home now in Jesus' name. I don't care where you are or what you're doing, you drop a dog biscuit and get yourself back to the house in Jesus' name. And if you're at somebody else's place that they have picked you up, the first time that he takes you loose, break for it. Same way with both of you. Just take off and get gone and go back home in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that your angels are going to carry him back to where they need to be in Jesus' name. Yes, and put Jennifer to rest, Father, and put her into that peace that surpasses all of her understanding in Jesus' name. Put her mind at rest, Lord. Jack and Callie's on the way back home. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we're looking for the testimony, and we thank you, Father, for the great and wonderful testimony that Jennifer's going to have in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe it? M2 Dogs is headed back. Thank you, Lord. I better write that down, too. All right. Anybody else? Somebody else had their hand up. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Okay, you talk about a dog reminds me of this one. my sister Joy has these two little teacup dogs. One was a little bigger than one was bigger than the one was bigger teacup size, and like maybe another size or two bigger. But they had these cute little dogs for the longest time, and they just loved them. And there was one year, maybe it could have been 3 years ago now, that this one dog got very, very sick, and was so sick they just were sure it was dying. And it sounded to me like, yeah, that dog's dying. And so she had us asked us to pray. I prayed, and I think that wasn't any more than 3 years ago. I think Denny was here. And we prayed, and I sent a prayer to her, text a prayer to her, and commanded that dog to live. I said, this dog is, I said, Abigail is not gonna die, but she's gonna live, and this is the testimony is gonna glorify God. And she did live. She did live. She just turned around. Things just turned around, and she just recovered. And Joy was just so thrilled. She just almost couldn't believe it in a way. She said, I wasn't gonna believe, didn't want to believe that. I didn't think it could happen because she was just dying in front of us. But God raised her up. But she did die the other day. Little Abigail did die the other day. I didn't know she was even sick. I just saw that she had died. We lost their little sweet little dog. But anyway, that was one thing. Dog being healed by prayer and faith, believing. So. Hello.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was muted. I was sitting there praising God. Okay. Anyone else? What's the greatest miracle that you prayed and God answered? I've got one. I got actually more than that. I'm not even going to I'm going to let y'all tell y'all's. What's the greatest miracle here, your healing miracle that you prayed for and got answered for someone else or yourself? Yeah, Ben.
Again, it's not too, well, I shouldn't say it's not too big. Every miracle is great.
Yeah.
I had cuts on my hands, and they were all like full of, like just little cuts here and there, and they were full of pus, and they were starting to get all nasty. And it was pretty cool because it happened in front of one of my coworkers. He saw me that day and he said, "You got to wash your hands, boy." And I said, "Well, I guess I do." And I said, "Be gone in Jesus' name." And then the next day after, they were all gone. I didn't even notice. And he said, "Oh, it looks like you washed your hands." And I said, "No, I didn't. That was all Jesus." And then he kind of laughed.
Amen. Thank you,
Yeah.
Lord. Praise God. Debbie, you're unmuted. Did you have something?
Oh, sorry. No.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything on praying? How many of you know that Jesus gave us the legal right to use his name in prayer as though he was the one that was praying? And that ain't wishful thinking. That's what is that? That's called delegated authority, isn't it? That's what he's done. He gave us the authority to pray like he'd pray and to know that he's going to answer our prayers. And that's the attitude we ought to have when we're going to prayer. Oh, Lord, I hope he answers this prayer. No, thank you, Lord, that you've answered my prayer already. I'm just going to believe that you answered it before I even set up here to tell you what I needed. So we need to start exerting our authority in Christ in a way that would benefit the people out there. Remember the lady that prayed for her dead husband that wasn't dead, she said, in the hospital? She was in the hospital, or he was. He wasn't saved, and he died. And they tried to get it, and they tried to get him to take him out. And she said, "Not for him, dear. Leave him alone." And the reason that she said that is because she had told the Lord, she had prayed to the Lord that he would heal him before he died some years back. And she knew that the Lord, she could trust the Lord to fulfill her prayers. And when he died in the hospital, the nurses, "Oh my goodness, he's dead," you know, and the thing went off and he was straight lined and all that. She dropped down on her knees and they said, "Well, we got to get him out of here. Sorry." She said, "He's not dead. He's not dead. Leave him alone." And they brought the doctor in there. The doctor said, "You know, Miss whatever her name was, we have to take him out. He's dead. He has succumbed to this disease or whatever it was." And she said, "No, you don't understand. He's not dead." So they left him alone, left her alone in there. And she was in there and she was just believing God, believing God, believing God. And she got up in her little old, lounge over there and went to sleep that night. And the nurses came in and they started trying to take him out. She said, "What are you doing? My husband's alive. Leave him alone." And they huffed and they puffed and they had to go back out because she wasn't giving it up. Anyway, the next morning, the doctors came in early in the morning before daylight. They said, "Ma'am, we have to take the body out." She said, "There's no body. He's alive. He is alive. Now don't move him anywhere. He's alive. I'll tell you why he's alive." And she said, he wasn't saved. He's not saved yet. And if he ain't saved yet, he's still alive. Because I pray." Anyway, the doctor left. And she went back over and laid down a little bit longer. And the next thing she know, her husband popped up. And she act like nothing was going wrong. She said, "Hey, honey, how's it going?" He said, "Oh, I'm kind of hungry." She said, "Well, would you like me to get you some? Let's go get some breakfast." He said, "Yeah, let's go get some breakfast." He said, "Go get my pants over there." And she went and got his pants. And the nurse's car screaming, coming in there and saying, "You can't move him. He's liable to die." She said, "You had your chance." She said, "Get out of our way. We're going to go get breakfast." And she stood her ground when the odds were against her. That's the wherewithal that God wants us to have our hearts. He said, "No, he hadn't answered my prayer yet. But he ain't dead." Praise God for people that can show us that kind of fortitude to understand and endure in their faith until they see what they had prayed come to pass. By the way, he came to Jesus too, as you probably already know. Yeah, praise God. It's stories like that that ought to tell us that, hey, look, don't give up when everything seems to be giving up on you. Because God ain't going to give up on you. He was testing her, wasn't The devil was trying to test her. That's it. What wasn't God, it was the devil trying to test her. He tried to take that man, and she wasn't going to have none of it. "Nope, devil, you can't have him. You ain't getting him." I love those kind of stories. I remember one time I had a guy call me and he said, "Would you go over and pray at the hospital, children's hospital?" newborn baby over there, born with a hole in his heart, and it's not, it's not good. I said, yeah, I'll go over there. And I went over there and I went into not the emergency, but the infirmary where they have all the babies. And the doctor was in there working around it. And they left. I watched until he left. I walked over and I put my hand on that child and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that heart to be healed, that hole to mend, and this baby to be whole again in Jesus' name. And that his mom and daddy is going to raise it completely. And just walked out and I went outside and I went to praying in the spirit around Children's Hospital there in Little Rock. Then I got a call after a while, and they were all excited. I think it was the wife. She said, they can't find the hole anymore. I said, that's because God healed her, healed him. It was a boy. That God healed him. That's why we went in there, got in there, and got to pray for him. Glory be to God. Anybody else? If you will exercise your authority in Christ with the public out there, even, God will honor it. God will honor it. I was up in Illinois one time, and I was walking out in the neighborhood, and I saw this lady just having a hard time with a rake. We're trying to rake up some leaves. Older lady. This has been, gosh, I don't know, 20 years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago. And I said, what's wrong? She said, oh, it's my hip or whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was. I said, you know, God will heal you, don't you? Well, I guess he will. I don't know. I don't know. I said, well, can I pray for you because God's fixing to heal you? She said, yeah, go ahead because I've been in a lot of pain here. So I put my hand on it. I commanded that pain to leave and I commanded that joint to be healed. And I said, now pick that rake up and go back to raking. And she picked that rake up and she had a bewildered look on her face. And she started twisting around. She started raking him leaves. She said, there's no pain. I said, that's because God is the doctor and he don't mess around. I said, he does a complete job when he gets when he operates on you. And boy, she was dancing a jig. That was an awesome. I was up in somewhere in Illinois. I don't even remember where I was. Anybody else? Let me ask another question. Can I ask another question? Well, y'all, since nobody else got none, I'm gonna ask another question. How many of you have trouble hearing the Holy Spirit talk to you?
Me?
All right. What do you think might be the problem? Anybody got any answers there? Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
I would say just with what's going on in my life right now, kind of more focused on my problem that I have. I got to find a new place to live, and I had to find a new job, and things that I got to do in that. And then instead of focusing on the problem and recognizing that the Lord is working in it and doing his thing and resting in that, my flesh is sort of going into an overdrive mode because it's worrying about the situation that I'm in. And so my flesh man is living, and I'm not letting my spirit man have his faith in my situation. That's sort of like what I'm thinking. I don't know if that's unbiblical in thinking that. I'm also just been distracted with YouTube and all that, and sometimes watching that for a while, it's hard to, put your nose to the grindstone in the sense of praying and reading your Bible and all that stuff. So there's that.
Amen. Well, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command all condemnation to go from him. That's no hindrance at all now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. He is sanctified. He's as sanctified now as he was the day he got brought into the kingdom. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. He has been forgiven. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you would open up the door for him to hear you some more in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I ask that and I pray that for everybody here that's struggling with hearing the Spirit of God talk to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Let me ask another question while I'm sitting here thinking about it. How many different ways does the Spirit talk to you? Now, it may seem like a strange question, but it's, if you think about it a minute. Yeah, but Julie.
Sometimes I hear that still quiet voice. You have to get quiet. And what Ben was saying, about all the things that are going on in your mind, that's your flesh, but it's also, I think, the enemy, he's done this with me, just stirring you up and keep remembering things, put those things in your mind in place of, no, I already prayed about this. God's going to show me where I'm supposed to live. God's going to help me with this decision or whatever. That's part of it. So hearing, getting quiet before the Lord and getting in the rest. I can't remember exactly how it's worded. I think in my Bible, the one I use have used just like strive. It says strive to enter into the rest. That's where our battle is, to get into that place of like, I know I believe, and you got to do warfare to shut up the enemy and that kind of thing. And then when you're in that place of rest, and I'm trying to think of the scripture in Isaiah 30 about, well, let me look it up because it's a really good verse. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30:15. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. No, I'm gonna go my arm. I'm gonna go my arm, my flesh, my works. Oh, anyhow, getting in the rest. Anyhow, the still quiet voice, and sometimes just praying through in the Holy Spirit, you build yourself up, and that sometimes will help you get to that place of the rest. But it just reading the word, it'd be the other thing. Reading the word, praying about it, like when you need to hear the Lord, praying about it, and then I think Benita touched on it earlier in her testimony where she was saying, well, what about this? Because she had all these questions. And well, what about this? What about this? And she would come across something in one of David's teachings or in the books or the audios, whatever she was listening to, and would start answering her questions. So it's reading the word and that kind of thing that you would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the word of God is spirit. My words are spirit, right? Jesus said his words are spirit and there is the meat. So that's two things that was coming to my mind. There might be more, but that's what was coming to my mind is a still quiet voice when you get alone and quiet and you hear, the word speak to you, the Holy Spirit, or as angel or somebody is going to speak what it is you're thinking about and what you need to hear, and answering your prayer, or just telling you something, just telling you something that you need to hear, or just a I don't know. He speaks to everyone just very personally, what he wants. And he's told me several times when I start thinking about things, and I just heard him say, it's like, just rest. I won't fail you. Just rest, because the enemy would still be stirring up my mind about thinking about how am I going to fix this problem. I just had a problem the other day, with my computer, and it was something I'd been praying about. And I started getting my own works. Like, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? And I was laying awake half the night trying to think, oh, the worst case scenario could be this. And just saying, well, how am I going to fix this? How am I? And I already prayed. It's like, Lord, you already got, I prayed, and I already talked to him about it. And it's like, you're going to have to do this because I can't. I mean, this is over my head and I can't fix it. And your power is made perfect in my weakness. And I don't have the money. And I don't have this, and I can't do this. I don't know how else, what else to do. I need a miracle. I need something. Well, anyhow, it got resolved the next morning, but I wasn't at rest and I wasn't in peace most of the night. And even though I was trying to focus on the Lord, the enemy kept just bringing stuff back to my mind. It's like, well, why don't you try this? Why don't you look for this online? And I'm like, no, stop, stop, stop. Anyhow, it's a battle. It's a battle.
It's a
So
battle.
it
Yeah.
is a battle. But you just gotta,
I can imagine.
no, Lord, you said you would, if I asked you anything, you said you would do it. Thank you. Well, I said, I told the enemy to shut up. And I said, angels, get this guy, shut these males up. I want to sleep, Anyway, fight, fight,
Amen.
fight.
Yeah, it's a daily struggle. Not a struggle, but so much as understanding where we are in Christ. Hebrews 10:22 said, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." That evil conscience is a constant awareness of your sin that you've done. Jesus took care of it. He took care of it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. He dealt with it. It's been judged. It's gone. So now we're standing in righteousness with him. We're not barely tolerated by God. He loves us. What do you think God did to build this earth? Who do you think God built this earth for? Yeah. And the whole universe, he built everything you see around you for you and me and everybody in this room. He wanted sons and daughters to have, to talk with, to be with, and to have fun with. That's why he made everything that he did. Just for us, just for humans to be his sons and daughters. That is amazing to me. How do we break our mindset of thinking that we're just not worthy? A lot of people have that unworthiness. I'm just not worthy. I'm just not worthy. I've heard a lot of people in the mainline denominations have that mindset. Yeah, Julie.
One thing the Lord's been reminding me of is everything that I've already gone through, and it's all been His grace, and that He loves me, and He chose me. He chose me, and there's other people He didn't choose. And I think about what He did for me, where I was sitting in that huge, big mega church once upon a time, and He chose me out of all those people to give revelation to and understanding to about things that, and a love for the truth. It's like little old me. Me. Why me? I remember if you've read or listened to the teaching on predestined, called, and elect. It's such a awesome book to know that, he's always known me before I was born, before the world and all before time, that he created me through his son, who is love, who is wisdom, who is all that God is, that he made me personally. He knew me even before time. He's always known me. That I, you, every one of us are that special, that he's known us. He's
Amen.
always known us, and he knows why we are the way we are, and our personalities, and our, why, so it's that coming to that revelation. No, I don't deserve anything good from the Lord because of me or whatever. It's not my works. It's never going to be that. I'm only worthy because I'm because Jesus, because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of Jesus I've been given grace. It's all because of Jesus that I exist in God's heart,
Amen.
So learning to know who you are and believe in it, knowing my identity in Christ. Key. That's what we need to know, all of us, how valuable we are. I think Andrew has said it many times before about the value of the blood of Christ. That's how much we mean to him. Amen.
Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead.
Just thinking of what Julie was saying there, and it's interesting that the value of things in the world are really based upon how much somebody's willing to pay for it. And you can get baseball cards and or whatever it is. It could be something that when it was created or when it was built, it was worth $1,000 or whatever. And now in this day and age, say 40, 50 years later, now all of a sudden it's worth $50,000 or something. But it's all based upon what someone is willing to pay for it. If you think about it, paintings and that sort of thing. Thousand, unless of course you're Hunter Biden and you have a flair for being. That's a different story. Sorry.
That's all right.
But the point I guess I was making is that God wanted a people that he could love and that would willingly love him, be able to love him. And the cost of that was the life of his son. So God's love, God determined how much value you are to him because he allowed Jesus to come and purchase us with his life. So, and I remember thinking about that, just that concept. That's a hard one to wrap your brain around. The potential discussion in heaven that took place could have taken place, what that the discussion between God the Father and Jesus, who will go? Who will go to purchase that price, you know, to pay that price? And just the thought that Jesus came, but it was the Father who would have come off of that throne in a heartbeat and taken Jesus' place, but because the Father loved Jesus more than his own life. And I know the Lord kind of demonstrated that thought to me one time. I was thinking of all of the different instances where, in the split second of time when there was a tragedy or a danger or a child fell in the river and was being swept away, and a man, you know, dove into the river to save the child. And in that moment of time, it was the demonstration of the compulsion to dive in that water in the in the face of potential death themselves to save another life. It is an expression of that person at that split second in time deemed that person that needed help as more valuable than their own life, and they dove in to rescue. And in like manner, God deemed the life of Jesus as more value than his own life, and he would have changed places with Jesus in a moment. And it was, in a sense, it was a greater sacrifice for our Father to allow Jesus to come and die for us. So I guess I say all that to say how much of how much value we are to the Lord, to our Father in heaven, that he paid the ultimate price for us. So
Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? Well, we got a song. It's not over 5 minutes long, is it? All right. Let's go ahead and sing it. I like that song. Or not love sing it, but you go ahead and play it.
You can sing with it. It kind of goes along as everyone was talking, where the conversation was going tonight. It really does kind of go along with what we were talking
Okay.
about, which I
All
think
right.
is kind of neat.
Thank you.
Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of life, created heaven and earth. In you is joy without measure. So like a charm in your sight, I dance to see your delight. For I was made for your pleasure.
Got a good beat to it. Glory to
That's
God.
really good. Yeah, that was a really good song, Julie.
Yeah. Amen. All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for being our peace, Lord. We thank you for forgiving us for being too distracted at times to not allow time for you in every day, Lord. Let us set a schedule and help us to hang to that schedule, Lord, that we give you at least an hour or two every day for just you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us, keep us, shield us from all problems. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Protect us also. Furnish us with everything that we need in this walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Provisions come in Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Let's see here.